Okay, we're going to continue our sermon series on the Gospel of John. Yes, that you may believe. And if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, we're going back to John chapter 15. So remember the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, you know what? I should mention this, because I think in Christian circles sometimes, and I do this, by the way, especially when I'm in some of those smaller books in the Old Testament, I flip back to the table of contents to find them. But we don't want to let people know that we don't know where everything is in the Bible. So, you know, we start fumbling all over. So feel free to use your table of contents because you paid for that page when you bought your Bible. So John 15, and actually two small sections that kind of jumped out at me this week. I've ended up titling the message this morning, Love and Hate. Wow, both of those are very strong words. And Evan's already got us started off on the love side. And I think I'm going to try and land there as well today. But in this first section, first of all, I'm thinking along the lines of how we are to be a friend of God and how to bring joy to the heart of Jesus. And this first section, and as you can see here, starting at verse 9 of John 15, Jesus speaking, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain," and we learned that word last time, "remain, abide in my love." How do we do that? Well, he says in verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And so I think we bring joy to the heart of Jesus as well when we abide and follow his commands. And what are his commands? Well, he says it right here in verse 12, that's it, good, I lost my place, thank you that you didn't lose your place, Jennifer. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." That's his command. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." "I have called you friends," he said. And I still remember, it was several years ago, I was leading the worship at a service, and we sang that song, and we're going to end the service with it. Okay, we sang that song called Once Again, written by Matt Redman. Great words, too, for a communion Sunday. You know those words, "Once again I look upon the cross where you died"? "Once again I thank you." And it has that bridge, and we often end the song with the bridge. "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend." And after I sang that song and introduced the speaker, the first thing when he came up to speak was, "We can never call God our friend." "This is what I don't like about these modern praise songs," he said, looking straight at me, of course, because we'd done kind of a mix of them. He said, "No, it's too casual, too cozy. He is God. He is Lord. He is not our friend." Well, when the sermon was over, as a closing song, I led the congregation in singing an old-time hymn. "What a friend we have in Jesus." No, okay, listen. That's not exactly how it happened. That's how it happened in my head. I just wanted to give you something to chuckle over. But I will have you know, I did keep my composure that time at least. And only because he made the statement publicly, right? What are you going to do? Well, you know what it is as a worship leader. You sing your heart out and you come down, somebody goes, yeah. But I simply just said this as I was taking my seat and he was coming up to preach. And I said to everybody there, I said, you know, actually, folks, I agree with our brother. God will always be God. We will never be, right? We will never be deity. God's not our pal. You know, we're not buddy buddies. We do need to approach him with reverence. But then I did mention a couple of hymns. Ones I know that this man and everybody else in that congregation would have sung. These people would have sung these hymns dozens of times over their life with no trouble at all. And of course, yes, I mentioned, what about what a friend we have in Jesus? And then I mentioned the other one, and that came just at the top of my mind. And I think it goes back even farther, but it's Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. I have discovered, by the way, over the years, you know, most often when somebody complains about newer praise songs, it's mostly because they're newer. It really has nothing to do with theology. They won't admit that, but it's mostly style. And I cannot call you my friend and then refuse to let you call me your friend. Friendship is a two-way street. You know, I can't say, well, listen, yeah, sure, you want to call me a friend, go ahead, but it doesn't work the other way, not with you. No, no. You and I, well, you know, we're just not on the same level. Please don't call me your friend. You call me a friend, sure, but don't expect me to call you your friend. Now again, it's God we're talking about. We are not on the same level, never will be. But that is why what we just read is so astounding. Because the Master is now telling us, I no longer call you a servant. I call you my friend. Oh, to be a friend of God, eh? And that is what we are. Those of us who followed Christ Jesus, we're his friends. And he showed us his love. He demonstrated it by dying for us. And here it is. Greater love is no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. That's what he did for us. And I'll harp on this for just a moment because of the next section of scripture that we'll be looking at here in just a moment, okay? I believe it is vital for every follower of Jesus to get this firmly cemented in your mind and in your heart, all right? Are you a Christian this morning? Then get this firmly in your mind and heart. God loves me. God loves you. God calls me his friend. I hear it so often, and you know, sometimes from people who have been Christians for decades. No, I don't think God loves me. No, he doesn't want me. Oh, I think God's angry with me. Do you know what? I had a couple of people, more than one, just tell me that recently. God's mad at me. No, to every follower of Jesus, I have to insist on this. God is not angry at you. He's not angry with you. God does love you very much. Now, we have that big word propitiation, right? And it means that, I mean, those outside of Christ, I got to tell you, there is the wrath of God and it's coming. God is still holy. But in Christ's death on the cross, he has removed our sins. He has turned aside the wrath of God. God can now call us friends. Max Lucado said, if God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on the door of it. All right. you know, it's funny, Mark mentioned Max last Wednesday at the prayer meeting. Now, that is very muddy theology, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. You won't find a chapter and verse on that one. But good old Max, he just has a way of bringing it down to our level. But I'm convinced, okay, we will not survive. We certainly won't thrive in this life if we doubt God's love for us. Now, there's a strong statement. It'll make sense in a moment, because our world is becoming more and more hostile to the message of Jesus. And nothing damages our self-esteem more, right, than when we encounter somebody and it's like, you know, I don't think that person likes me. Some of us will do anything to get somebody to like us. That's one of my faults. But believing and receiving God's forgiveness and love for you is so important. It's so important. And the reason why it is so important, well, the reason why it's so important that we also show our love for one another, as in fact Jesus has commanded us to do, it comes down a lot to what these next verses will say to us. So this is still John 15, but let's skip down to verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I've chosen you out of the world, says Jesus. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours too. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know. He even said it from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We have an entire generation of people now, actually probably two or maybe even three generations now, who really have some very wrong ideas about God. Certainly about Jesus, if they ever even think about God or Jesus. Now, most people, okay, it's Canada, they're too polite to tell you to your face. They won't say, oh, I hate you. That's a very strong word. In fact, most of us don't even want to hear it, let alone use it. Right? We hate to use the word hate. And people won't usually say, I hate Jesus. But they show it by simply ignoring him and his message. You ever been dissed by somebody? Dismissed, written off? Hey, talk to the hand. So many choose to ignore us as his followers. And they are becoming more hostile these days in expressing it, especially online. I've been thinking a lot about this recently. I mentioned it at a prayer meeting not too long ago. I think I even touched on it here one Sunday morning. So I'm going to have to do a whole sermon on it soon, I think. But a couple things I want to leave with you. First, okay, nobody enjoys having their faults exposed. None of us, right? And coming to Christ does mean that we will come into that light where you can't hide anything. He sees, he knows everything about us that we try to hide. But rather than hiding even more in the darkness, he keeps telling us to keep coming into and keep coming to this one who, although he sees and knows everything, he still loves us. Isn't that the best definition for what a friend is, by the way? I think we used to have t-shirts that even said that, right? I know all your faults, but I'm going to love you anyway. Isn't that what he says? So yes, we will keep inviting people to come to Jesus, Uber drivers and all. And we invite people to come to Jesus just as they are, right? Come to your own personal faith in Christ. By the way, I'm always willing to talk more about that with anybody here. But in coming to God just as we are, well, we have to realize, and you begin to realize this more and more as you start following Him. You come to God as you are, but God has no intention of leaving any of us just as we are. He has things He wants to do with us, and He doesn't ask our permission. Now, it's not my place to judge. No, Jesus said, I'll send you out to fish for people. Jesus is the one who's going to clean up those fish. We all arrive in this Christian life with things that God will point out to us as needing change. It's ongoing. Oh, and I have enough troubles with my own stuff. I can't point to you as being any worse of a sinner than I am. But He is the one who brings the changes to us. He works with us as we surrender to His loving hand. Because coming to Christ means you will find yourself under His scrutiny. Okay, way back when we started this series on the Gospel of John, back in the year 21 or something, but Jesus said it to Nicodemus way back in John chapter 3, remember verse 19. And He said, this is the verdict. Light's come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. People love the darkness. They don't want to come to the light. But may we always keep sharing this message, this good news. Okay, we know in some cases people don't want to hear it, right? They'll just kind of say, no, I kind of like the darkness. Please and thank you. Why don't you go try and convert somebody else? And it gets muddled because these days, of course, there's no such thing as objective truth anymore, right? It's all subjective. Well, you have your truth. I have my truth. Leave me alone. And we never wish ill on anybody, by the way. But we keep sharing our message. Because, as Jesus said here, and now He refers to it in verse 20, he said, yeah, there'll be those who persecute us for sure. But He also says there'll be those who, well, if they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours too. So some will hear our message. Some will see our lifestyle. Some will be attracted to that as we all grow in our personal faith. Now, okay, as for the thing I thought about recently, and I shared a bit with you already. Of course, in some cases, right, in our world these days, faith in Christ is dying, okay? It's going out of style. Certainly here in Canada, although, you know, people say we're no longer a Christian country, we never were. It was just an artificial sort of Christianity. There, you can't go shopping on Sunday. Oh, now you can. Whoa. And well, we get all... Right? It's artificial. Here in Canada, right, Christianity's going out of style. It is. Even Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, we'll even find faith on the earth. Now, in some parts of the world, and I mentioned this a couple Sundays ago, maybe, Christianity is growing. And it's happening here. And you know what? It's happening among certain age groups here in North America. It's not all doom and gloom. And do you know what I've discovered? And, well, okay, part of it is because I have one of those now, a young daughter and son-in-law now. Whoa, that's scary. But you know, young people are beginning to realize it. It's the young people that are beginning to realize it. Right, some of the dead ends they are finding from what they've been told will bring them happiness and fulfillment. And some of them are brave enough to admit it. It takes bravery. Some will be brave enough to admit, you know what? I think I was wrong. No, this actually isn't working. So they are asking. Maybe asking even moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas about God. So, if you are a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa right now, you make sure you have some good answers. You better have a faith of your own too, don't you? You need that, because they're going to be asking. Now, generally speaking, okay, and we see a lot of it in our society today. People are abandoning what used to be held up as important truth. There was a time in the English-speaking world when a person was not considered properly educated unless they had some kind of knowledge of the Bible. Anybody watch Jeopardy on TV? All right, some of you younger folks here, give yourself about 30 years, you'll be watching a Jeopardy on TV every night too. But they, you know it, sometimes they ask questions about the Bible on that show. Right? Because they know smart people are supposed to have some working knowledge of this. But you've probably noticed it like I have. More and more people are like, they're getting those answers correctly less and less. To use a Bible expression, many people today are becoming more and more worldly. Worldly. More enamored with the ways of this world, this society, and all of its ideas of what brings success and happiness. Now, it's not all wrong. And like I say, it's not all doom and gloom. Don't lose hope. But remember, as Jesus said in a couple of his parables, thinking of this world as a garden, a vineyard maybe, and there'll be plenty of good seed that is still being sown in people's hearts. We go out and sow that seed. Good seed that will grow up and mature. But also, and he said it was an enemy that planted this, there are weeds growing in this garden. And they want to pull down and choke out the good seed, making it unfruitful. Many remember that parable, the wheat and the tares, right? That's how the old King James puts it, the wheat and tares. We think of the wheat and the weeds. Apparently those tares, as some of the older translations put it, Jesus was apparently referring to something called darnel. You farmer guys, you ever heard of darnel? No, neither have I. But apparently it looked a lot like healthy wheat. Looked a lot like wheat, but it was really an imposter, a weed. And you couldn't tell unless you get up real close. Boy, you could make a whole analogy with people on that one, couldn't you? Can't tell. Well, they're in church today, but how do you know, right? The disciples said, well, if they're weeds, let's just yank them all out. But Jesus said, no, let them both grow up together. Because in yanking out some of the bad stuff, you may actually end up pulling up some of the good stuff with it. Now he said, wait till the harvest. I'll take care of that. He knows those who are his and those who only look like it. So on the one hand, persecution, it's growing. Doesn't make the headline news over here, but in many places in our world, people are even being killed because they believe in Jesus. In fact, more martyrs in the last century than in the whole history of the church. Those kids in Minneapolis, who were they hurting? They just wanted to go to Mass with their teachers and friends. And we here in Canada, if we truly live for Jesus, we will face, I think, more and more opposition. Persecution, yeah, that's probably happening too, isn't it? So on the one hand, our message will not be popular. That's just a fact of life. And then that other side that I've been thinking about and even harping on somewhat. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You, me, we are the light of the world. So let's just keep bringing as salt. Let's bring the proper seasoning and flavor to our little corners of the world. Don't lose your saltiness. Let our lives even cause others to thirst a little bit. You know, that's why you're not allowed, at least I think, are you allowed now in Ontario to put a plate of salted peanuts at a bar? You couldn't back in the 70s, right? Because people would eat those salted peanuts and they'd drink more beer. And so even the government said, no, that's actually not a good thing. Even though we're making money on this. But salt, and there's all kinds of metaphors for it. It is a preservative, but that's not how Jesus would have used it back in his day. And we're not preserving a whole lot anyway. But salt was designed to cause a thirst in people. Do people feel thirsty after they've been with us? I got a feeling John the Uber driver is going to start thinking, well, who were those people? Maybe I do need to know something about Jesus. So let our light shine too. So we got to be salt and we got to be light. Let people see our good works done in the power of the Holy Spirit. I debated whether to even mention this, but I guess I better now. You heard about spin doctoring, right? The spin doctors out there that kind of take something that isn't, or they want to avoid something that's true, so they spin it. So just to take your mind off the truth. I've been seeing this a lot lately, and Christians are falling for it. Since yet another shooting down in the United States, although up here in Canada, they say it's on the increase now, illegal guns. But since then, you know, and for a number of years now, you've heard people say, well, thoughts and prayers aren't enough. And now, because we don't want to get people to think about, gee, maybe we have too easy access to too many guns. We got more guns than people in this country. Hey, thoughts and prayers, that's an attack on prayer. It isn't. It's just that people are saying, hey, listen, you got to do something. Let people see your good works. If your prayers don't once in a while inspire you to do something, you're praying to the wrong God. So let's try. And a lot of it's happening here at Generations already, by the way, salt and light. Wow, the testimony there from Faye this morning and from Evan. Let's keep trying to be the reason why people don't have justification for ignoring the Christian message. Okay? Well, if that's what a Christian is, no. No thank you. In a world where love and hate are both growing up all around us, and they're growing up together, so let us, together, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us not live in isolation. Oh no, too many are doing that. No, it's too easy for the wolf to pick off that lone sheep, right? You've heard that illustration before. No, you have a place in the body of Christ, every one of you. Keep taking that place. Some of you know that famous serenity prayer, right? Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. Can't change everything. Pick your battles. And it's not easy, and it comes at great personal cost. But let's you and I keep choosing love over hate. Amen? Father, thank you. So many things today have just all tied together. And, as everyone could tell, none of us rehearsed anything. So this is all you're doing. So thank you. And remind us again that on the one hand, yes, our world's getting darker, but on the other hand, people are realizing their hunger and thirst for the light. And so, Lord, let us keep bringing that light to people. Thank you for the love that is here in this manifestation of the body of Christ we call Generations Church. And Lord, thank you once again for this cross. You haven't promised us an easy life, but you have promised us a yoke that is easy. So may we keep following you. And thank you for calling us friend. In Jesus' name, amen.